From Michigan Radio and the Detroit Journalism Cooperative, I'm Lester Graham. For the last couple of years, the news has been full of stories about police killing unarmed African Americans.
That was Eric Garner saying over and over again, "I can't
breathe."
Reported
at the scene where Freddie Gray was first taken into custody.
New information tonight about the death of Tamir Rice, the 12-year-old boy.
Some researchers believe police need a new kind of training. During the summer of 2014, a St. Louis suburb erupted in outrage. Protesters across the metro area wanted answers for the fatal shooting of 18-year-old Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri. At the time, one woman, who only gave her name as Keela, explained to St. Louis Public Radio why so many people protested this latest shooting.
Because you've had so many within the last maybe 2 years, and I think this was the straw that broke the camel's back.
The protests went on for 17 days. Nearly 2 years later, Ferguson, Missouri residents are still concerned that police are too quick to shoot black people.
That decree should cover them as well.
Winfred Cockrell has been speaking out at City Hall meetings again and again because he thinks racial bias might have been behind the shooting of Michael Brown.
Stop looking at me, the color of my skin, judging me. Stop everybody. Just stop.
Cockrell was trying to persuade the Ferguson City Council to accept a Department of Justice agreement to better train officers to work with the community. The largest police force, one of 50 departments at the Ferguson protests, is the St. Louis County Police Department. The County Police Department leads the area's police academy. Police Chief John Belmar has been talking with the U.S. Department of Justice about how police could have better handled the situation.
I said, well, where will we focus the areas? So we thought training, we thought policy and procedures, bias-based policing, or bias-free policing, I'm sorry.
The idea of bias-free policing is something law enforcement just recently started embracing.
I think that there's implicit bias research and shooter bias research that makes it clear that there is a majority of people, disproportionately white, that view black people as a danger, as a threat, as a body that needs to be controlled.
Blanche Cook is an assistant professor of law at Wayne State University. That research found during computer simulations, some officers were initially more likely to mistakenly shoot unarmed black suspects than unarmed white suspects. But Cook says the researchers also found, with extensive training, officers were able to eliminate that bias.
If the flip side of the argument is that people cannot control their implicit bias, then that means they can't educate us. They can't police us. They can't ever have any kind of authority over us because they're going to act on that implicit bias at a subconscious level and never be able to control it. And we simply can't have that kind of world.
That kind of training is seen as especially important when the police force is majority white and the municipality's black population is growing. Back in Ferguson, Missouri, Winfred Cockrell says beyond police shootings, there's a larger matter.
It's time to finally put the big issue on the table, race. We keep avoiding it like the plague. It's time to talk about it. It really is.
Coming to terms with America's racial issues can't be solved by retraining police alone, but the police might be the most important starting point. Blanche Cook from Wayne State University suggests police applicants should be tested for implicit bias. She also suggests special investigators and special prosecutors should be appointed when police kill people. The larger issue is this.
Until we deal with the way in which white supremacy, racism, and implicit bias frames the way in which we look at the world around us, we're going to continue replicating this problem again and again and again.
With the Detroit Journalism Cooperative, I'm Lester Graham, Michigan Radio News.
Support for the Detroit Journalism Cooperative on Michigan Radio comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, Renaissance Journalism's Michigan Reporting Initiative, and the Ford Foundation.